Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Christian church pulpits are supposed to be sounding boards for personal peace, divine promises, and spiritual prosperity. But these days, many flocks of churchgoers may be starting to hear something new, politics, preached from the pulpit. Are these churches just getting in tune with the times, or are they overstepping the boundaries of their God-ordained ministry? Let's ask Michael Peabody, a workplace litigator and endless advocate of religious liberty. Michael, tell us about the Johnson Amendment and what's taking place that we should know about.
Well, the Johnson Amendment was passed by Congress in 1954, and it's named after Lyndon Johnson, who later became the United States President after Kennedy. Yeah. At the time, he was a U.S. Senator, and he had actually been opposed by a nonprofit organization of oil companies when he was running for office. And when he got in office, he decided to change that, and so he passed this bill or proposed it, and it was passed by Congress. What it does is it prohibits tax-exempt organizations, churches, nonprofit hospitals, whatever, from participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office.
Okay.
So pretty much what Johnson did was he said, this is not going to happen again. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
So it was actually passed by Congress and added to the tax code. As a result, it made it impossible for churches to promote candidates from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, churches have tried to claim that this is a violation of their free speech rights or a violation of their free exercise rights. But in reality, what it does is it prevents churches from using tax-deductible donations for advancing political campaigns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For instance, right now, if you wanted to give your money to a Democrat or a Republican, that money would not be tax deductible. You just have to pay the full tax on it, and it's this money you're giving away. But if you were able to give that to the church, and then the church would turn around and politicize and promote your candidate, then you could actually have a loophole so that you could get tax deductible campaign donations. On top of that, your church would become a political pulpit. You know, you'd probably have a pastor who'd get up there, and if they weren't too smart, they'd promote one candidate and they alienate half the congregation.
It's true.
Or vice versa.
It's true.
It really creates kind of a mess from a tax standpoint and from a practical standpoint. But there's a lot of people who are out there saying that this is unconstitutional. We need to do away with the Johnson Amendment. In one of his speeches at the convention, Donald Trump actually talked against the Johnson Amendment and talked about how it was violating the free speech rights of the pastors. But in reality, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it keeps the politics away from the pulpit. You know, they say there are two things you're not supposed to talk about in public or with people you don't know. One is politics, the other is religion.
Yes.
And I don't know if people really want to hear both of those things coming out of them from church.
I know, I don't. This is interesting because, you know, churchgoers, and correct me if I'm wrong here, faith-based people, people of faith, tend to be more interested in the world and what's going on around them than other people. Would I be right in saying that?
I think so.
Yeah. So it would seem like a church would be a fertile ground for a politician to want to get in there and get votes.
If a church wants to get rid of its tax-exempt status, it could go out and campaign all it wanted to.
Yes.
But essentially what you're looking at also, another issue is the idea that a candidate could claim the endorsement of a church and therefore claim the endorsement of God. A funny thing happened in this last election. Six of the Republican candidates who were running in the primaries all said God had told them to run for office.
That's true.
None of them made it all the way through. But, you know, when you say God is helping you, that's a pretty big claim. And if you got a church to back it up, and you've got people sitting in the pews every week and they listen to the pastor saying this candidate is the one that God wants you to vote for, people may actually start listening to that and really feel that they're doing God's will by voting for that person, and they're even sinning if they vote the opposite way.
And, of course, if you follow it all the way through and they feel that God is telling them to vote for this person and then that person doesn't win, what are they going to do with how that makes them feel? Did God fail me? Did I fail God? It opens up a whole new Pandora's box of emotions and spiritual doubt that wouldn't be there if they hadn't done it in the first place. Am I right?
Well, and if your candidate doesn't win, you say, oh, that's an example of spiritual warfare. The devil's at work stopping my candidate from winning. Therefore, yeah. I need to fight harder.
Yeah. Well, okay. Bless their hearts. I hope that they feel that way. Okay, so the Johnson Amendment rolling along here. Let's look at this both sides here. If the Johnson Amendment stays, what's the world like? And if the Johnson Amendment is struck down, what's the world going to be like? Compare those two worlds for us.
Well, if the Johnson Amendment stays, I think you're still going to have white politicking from the pulpit. And it happens now. Most people have a general idea of which way their pastor is leaning politically.
Right.
You just don't see the campaign poster hanging from the front of the church. And you don't see an offering call for a candidate.
Yes.
And stuff happens, but it's sort of under the table. There's always this threat that the IRS is going to come and audit the church or nonprofit.
You know, I can see churches divided. You know, on the right-hand side would be the Trump supporters, and the left-hand side of the sanctuary would be the Clinton supporters, and they would have separate boxes for the offering. Come on now. This is ridiculous. To carry this thing to the extent that it wants to go is just almost laughable.
Well, it's something the politicians really want, but a lot of church pastors are saying, hey, wait a second, I don't really want this, because what's going to happen is the pastor may not be the one involved in it. They may get dragged along for
yes,
the ride.
Exactly.
May have a parishioner coming to their church saying, hey, I want to hand out these campaign flyers to everybody who comes in the door. And actually, I had a pastor call me recently where a member wanted to do just that. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, the Johnson Amendment prohibits it. And he said, oh, good. I'm very glad to hear that, because
that
now
easy.
I don't have to deal with the
yes,
problem.
Yes, yes.
Pastors want to keep the politics out of the church,
well, of
just because they want to focus on the gospel. It's focused on keeping people together in unity. Politics have their role, but it's a separate role than the religious role.
Why do congregations want to bring politics in? Don't we go to church to study about God, to study about love, to study about sacrifice and mission? Why do congregations want to bring politics into their pulpits?
I think a lot of people see their faith through the lens of their politics. Their politics are more important to them than their faith. And so if you see somebody who's got a real strong viewpoint either way,
yes,
a lot of times everything that they focus on religiously has to do with their political perspective. And that's a problem, and it's something that people need to recognize when it's happening in their lives and say, hey, look, you know, I need to take stock of what I'm thinking about these issues, and am I thinking about it from a perspective of faith or a perspective of politics?
My. You know, I have a real problem with our churches these days, and I include my own in this as well, in that let's separate our love for God and our love for politics. We need to love everybody. We need to love all candidates. We need to love all voters. But when we come to church, let's cross over a boundary. Let's make a little line in the sand there that says, okay, over here we're talking about God, and over here we can talk about politics, but let's not blend those two. I wish that a lot of the church members that I happen to know personally would spend as much time defending God, defending the Bible, defending their faith, as they do defending a candidate in politics. What do you say about that, Michael Peabody?
I agree 100%. Ultimately, that is what matters far more than who wins the election.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's a person to do? If you and I, who feel that way, and maybe there's others listening to this program feel that way, want to exclude politics from our church, and we keep seeing it inching in around the edges or sneaking up to us on the pews, what should we do?
Well, one thing is simply don't participate in the issues from a political perspective as to who is going to win. If you want to talk about the issues, talk about the issues. You're free to do that even under the Johnson Amendment.
Right.
You could talk about human trafficking. You could talk about all kinds of things that happen in your community and really address them from a moral standpoint based on the Bible, and keep the political part out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you have given us good marching orders here for this. The Johnson Amendment is still in place. There are people who want to overturn it. How do we know when we're dealing with something like the Johnson Amendment, when we're making votes and when we're making decisions at the polls?
Well, essentially, it's an amendment that Congress would have to overturn.
Okay.
And there's all this movement toward doing it, but there's also a lot of quiet resistance. And as Christians going to the polls, it's important to think of things in terms of issues. Don't vote the party line every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, be willing to shake things up and get involved, but just try to keep that political argument out of the church because it tends to interfere with the gospel.
Keep it out of the church and put it on Facebook where it belongs. Is that what I hear you saying?
Talk about all you want on Facebook.
There you go, all you want.
May not have any Facebook friends, but that's the principle behind the whole thing anyway.
Well, you know, we have said often on this program, Michael, that the job of anyone who loves religious liberty and who supports religious liberty is to be the voice of religious liberty, whether that's at church, whether that's on Facebook, whether that's in the neighborhood, in your community. We need to speak up in kindness and in love and in respect to saying, look, guys, look, ladies and gentlemen, let's step back and look at where this is taking us, what this is going to mean to our spiritual lives here as well. We need to be actively involved in it. How do you do that, Michael Peabody? You're a lawyer, an advocate for religious liberty, and you help with accommodation, discrimination cases. How do you bring into the courtroom these thoughts?
Well, one of the things I try to do is look at each issue by issue, mm-hmm. figure out what it's based in, figure out where it's going, who's promoting it, and really try to understand what's happening rather than simply run to a political, find out what politicians think about it and then go based on that.
Right.
I think it's important to do your own research and get to the core of the issues yourself, and then you can really understand them. A lot of times people will say, oh, you're too liberal or you're too conservative. I get people accusing me of that all the time from both sides. Mm. But it tells me I'm in the middle somewhere, or I'm balanced at least. And that's a valuable thing to have.
I heard a talk show host on television who made a couple of statements, political statements, said, I just want to make sure that you understand that I am not pro-Republican, I am not pro-Democrat, I am pro-truth. And that statement has stuck with me. That is where our focus should be. That's where our desire should be. We need to be searching for the truth in all of this, no matter who is saying it, and vote for the truth. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Michael Peabody has been our guest today. He is a litigator in Los Angeles, California. He is a great advocate of religious liberty and also represents plaintiffs in workplace accommodation and discrimination cases. He has a website where you can learn a lot of good things. I do every day. www.religiousliberty.tv, religiousliberty.tv. A lot of traffic there, a lot of good information. And you can also leave comments and listen to his blogs and see his articles. Good stuff there at religiousliberty.tv. Also, libertymagazine.org is a place where you can hear this program again and also leave comments about this program. That's at libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Michael Peabody inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.